You are listening to the Punk News Podcast, another quick and dirty episode, because I'm pretty busy this week. I'm pretty real busy this week. This is featured editor John Gentile, and we are here with M. Moore. M. Moore,
Hey.
We did a last-minute April Fool's gag. It's going to run on April Fool's. I think it's pretty good. What do you think?
I think it's really funny. I like it.
So we'll see how. I mean, the commenters are going to hate it. So
oh, 100%.
You know, but I actually have to make sure that another website did do it first. Like, we might have thought up something that already existed. And
oh, no.
If that did happen, then we're on a super short time frame, man. Super short.
Okay, well, we'll figure something out.
Yeah,
if
yeah,
we
yeah.
need to, we'll figure something out. We'll pull a rabbit out of a hat.
So, anyways, April Fool's around the corner, and everyone on the internet hates April Fool's anymore. I guess because it got abused by the internet. But I love April Fool's jokes on the internet. I still love them. Almost nobody does them anymore. Like, for a while, like, everybody did them, but now almost like nobody does them anymore. But we still do it. We've been doing like almost 20 years now, probably.
Because it's fun.
It is fun. So anyway, I run this past you on our pre. Oh, you can always read a podcast at punknews.org. I meant to say that every episode. But, also, after this, I'm going to run this episode tonight, and then my episode with Chris of Crazy in the Brains is probably going to run Monday or Tuesday. And that's just a normal podcast episode where Chris shows up and talks about what's happening with Crazy in the Brains, and we discuss the news and what's going on with them. Anyway, Emma, I didn't really send this past you, but I'm interested in your opinion on this.
What is up?
It's kind of breaking news that P. Diddy, his house in Miami, I believe, or his house in California, one of his houses, has been raided for human sex trafficking, which always astounds me that these guys that are super duper rich, like, you don't need to do human sex trafficking. You're rich. Like, why?
Unless that's how they got rich, was through human sex trafficking.
Well, true, but I'm pretty sure P. Diddy got rich through extremely shrewd business practices within the hip-hop community, which actually, P. Diddy actually, not to heap praise on P. Diddy, because it ain't looking too good for him, and I don't really care about P. Diddy one way or another, but he actually kind of modified the business, he modified the hip-hop and the music industry a great deal in the 90s. He was one of the first, and certainly the first major players. Instead of having a label signed, I mean, instead of having an act signed to a label or doing a development, he would essentially function as a, I want to say mini, but mini's not the right word. He would function as, I guess, a standalone record label, totally record, mix, and master a release, and then go to the major labels and say, I've got this. Do you want to put it out? So, you know, usually the major label gets their hands in everything, and they pop in on the studio session. P. Diddy, And in doing so, they make a lot more money because they're, quote, developing the product and, quote, investing. So the amount of money the major label makes is much higher. But P. Diddy was shrewd enough to present a finished product that was, quote, good enough or had enough commercial appeal or had so much commercial appeal, the major labels couldn't turn it down. So he very much did revolutionize the way record labels signed acts in the mid-90s to 2000s. That method isn't as big as it used to be, but it is still around. So that's how he got super rich, by kind of figuring out how to do that and being, I guess, shrewd enough to create a commercial enough product that would sell millions in the 90s, which wasn't that hard to do in the 90s. I mean, it was hard, but not as hard now. And selling that finished product to the label instead of letting the label be part of the development of the album and getting more money on their side of things. So,
yeah, but he also did that, like, those weird kind of like shout out things during other people's songs. It's just like, ugh.
That's like the most annoying thing about, well, actually, that's not the most annoying thing about P. Diddy, but that's one, that's an annoying thing about P. Diddy, is it'll be like a pretty cool song, but they're like literally like every 15 to 20 seconds, he'll be like, yeah, Bad Boy Records, yeah. Uh-huh. And it's like, dude, get out of the song. You're not adding any. But of course, he's doing that to give himself some royalties from the track, but also to kind of like brand it, if you will.
Yeah.
And also like his tie artist to him. But he really is annoying how he goes like, uh-huh, yeah. Like throughout like every song that he produces, you know. Anyways.
Oh, yeah.
So Pete Diddy's been raided at his house for sex trafficking, and it ain't looking too good. And apparently what was one of the things that was happening at his parties, I think they were calling freaky parties or something, where he would hire sex workers to have sex with like guests at the house, and maybe not everybody was willing or whatever. And like he'd have like these huge like Nero style sex parties at his house, allegedly. And first of all, that just seems like gross, man. Like, I like obviously like rock stars and hip hop stars and rich people and creepy rich people have done this kind of thing, like have these huge sex parties at their house, which to me it just seems gross. And like I don't want to be around a bunch of people having sex. Like A, I just like people grunting and moaning and stuff. That just seems nasty as hell to me. And would you want to go to like a big sex party? I would not want to go to a big sex party.
Oof, just think about the cleanup.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
I think if it is like specifically a sex party, like if you're going to an orgy, that's fine because everyone wants to be there, everyone's consenting and all
I
that
wouldn't want to be
business.
there.
You wouldn't want to
I
go
would
to an
not want
orgy.
to. No, I would not want to go to it. It's gross. Like that's gross. Like,
Just a heaping mass of like
yeah.
limbs.
So you're saying that's not gross to you?
I do not have orgy experience.
If someone invited you to go, even as a spectator, would you go as a spectator?
Ooh, as a spectator, I don't think I would go as a spectator because it's like I don't want to intrude, you know? Like you have your fun. As long as everyone is a consenting adult, I'm
It
making
just
that
sounds
very, very clear.
it just sounds so gross to me. Like I don't want to be around a bunch of people grunting and like, you know, making liquids. That just sounds horrible. Horrible.
Making liquids is
Anyway,
not a fun time.
so allegedly P. Diddy had one of these parties where people made liquids
Okay.
and stuff, you know. And
A
so
liquid party.
a liquid party to make it sound even grosser. So anyways,
Yes.
one of P. Diddy's long-term rivals is 50 Cent. And one
Okay.
of the things that 50 Cent is really good at doing is really like dissing on and taking out his opposition or kicking them when they're down. I want to be a 50 Cent fan because I like that. I mean, I actually am very anti-gangster and gangsta, both. I'm against both. But I like that 50 says he's a gangster and he is a gangster, or he was a gangster. When so many of these other like rappers and hip-hop guys, like they act gangsters, but they're not really, you know, like you definitely get the impression that 50 Cent is a tough dude and will F you up if you mess around with 50 Cent. That's why I like 50. So I wanted to be a fan of his music, but I've tried multiple times. The beats aren't there and the raps aren't quite there, you know. So anyways, so one, I'll just name a couple of 50 Cent's famous attacks, if you will. One was like, he hates Ja Rule apparently. I don't know why. So one time
Okay.
Ja Rule was having a concert like Madison Square Garden, so he bought out like an entire block, like front and center of the seats. So but he didn't give the tickets. He like kept the tickets.
Oh my
So when
God.
Ja Rule performed, it was like empty, like right in front of him, as
Oh
if he just
shit.
classic 50. Another one was Fat Joe. He had beef with Fat Joe for a while, and I don't even know why.
Okay.
And so Fat Joe actually did like a 50 Cent diss. So 50 Cent did a whole mixtape dissing Fat Joe. And listen, body shaming is not cool, but he calls Fat Joe fat like 100 times. Like he just, anyways. So there's an interview with Fat Joe where Fat Joe says, you know, everyone, and I'm paraphrasing, everyone says 50's a badass. But the guy that shot, because and you remember that like 50 got shot like 12 times or whatever that like before he became famous,
Oh, yes.
and that's why his jaw is kind of crooked because he got shot in the face. So like one of
Oof.
50's claim to fame is he got shot like 12 times in a drive-by or 10 times or a lot of times. And so anyways,
Yeah.
there's this interview with Fat Joe where Fat Joe's everyone says 50's a badass, but everyone knows the guy that shot him, but he's still around, you know, everyone knows that. And so 50
Ooh.
Cent's mixtape opens with that clip, right? And then the
Sure.
whole mixtape, the Elephant in the Sand mixtape, which is really, it's my favorite 50 release. I like it. It's like 50 just being a badass and just like dunking on Fat Joe. And then it ends with a news report of a guy getting shot and killed. And who do you think that person was?
The guy who shot him
Right. Like,
originally.
that's hardcore, man. That's hardcore, right?
Was that real?
No, it was real. Like the guy got shot
Oh,
after the
shit.
time Fat Joe said that, and before the mixtape came out, that guy got killed. Which is, I'm not saying it's
Oh, my
good,
God.
but I'm not saying that's good or nice.
No,
I'm
no,
saying you
no.
should not kill people, but I'm saying that is badass. You know what I mean? So like that, you know,
Oh, my
50.
God.
And then there was one other one actually where 50 had to file for bankruptcy. I forget, it might have been Fat Joe or someone else. Like either Fat Joe's wife or someone else's wife did a porn tape, and 50 Cent bought it and distributed
Oh.
But apparently one of the actors in the video hadn't signed a release, so they sued 50, and he had to file for bankruptcy because he lost like $20 or $50 million or whatever.
Oh my God.
So like 50 is, he's wild, man. He's wild. So anyway, M, here's why I mentioned
Wow,
this up.
okay.
Here's
Yes.
50's latest attack, if you will. So
Okay.
he doesn't like P. Diddy.
Sure.
And you know, apparently it's coming out now that allegedly it's an open secret that P. Diddy was not doing cool stuff at his freaky sex parties or whatever.
Oh no,
And
okay.
so as it turns out, over the past year, 50 has been hiring documentarians and researchers
Oh.
to research this exact issue. And apparently,
Hell
Finney's got a whole
yeah.
documentary on this, and he's going to make it a documentary and sell it and donate all the profits to like a rape organization, an anti-rape organization or something, you know?
That's
So,
awesome.
but so 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 you, I'm curious to your opinion. Is A, I don't think he's doing it because he's trying to be a nice guy. I think he's trying to exact vengeance against P. Diddy, but the end result is hypothetically a positive result. So I'm very
Yeah.
curious as to M more perspective on Fitty's latest maneuver.
Okay. Well, I agree with that. I don't think he's doing it necessarily to be a good person. But again, like anything that exposes and shines a light on human trafficking and like sexual abuse and sexual assault and everything is really great, especially when you're taking down powerful people who pull the strings behind a lot of these really, really horrific crimes. So the fact that he's brought in people to research it and he has like video evidence of all these things that are like they're gonna hold up in court. They're also gonna like shift public opinion and donating all the money to like a sexual assault organization. Like that is great. That is awesome. Like more people should do that, especially if you know you're a powerful person and like the person who's doing the bad things is also a powerful person. You're protected in doing everything that you can to expose them. So good for 50 Cent.
Well, they have the official M Moore opinion. I think I agree. It is funny that M, you might be a little too young to remember this, but at just after the height of 50, when Fitty was a little bit on the decline, Kanye was rising, and P. Diddy was still kind of huge, you know. And
Okay.
there was a whole thing like who's going to be the true hip hop reign, hip hop supreme, Fitty, Kanye, or P. Diddy. And 50 said something like, "If my record doesn't outsell Kanye, then I'm going to quit hip hop." And that was right before Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy came out, Kanye's album, which took Kanye from huge to mega huge. And so 50 clearly lost that battle. I think the album was before I self-destruct. And you know, and P. Diddy has always basically been pretty huge. But I find it interesting, Em, that 20 years on or whatever, the three-way battle for hip hop supremacy, it looks like 50 Cent might come out on top.
It does seem like he is the front runner right now.
Which I like. I honestly, out of all three, I like 50 the best. And like I said, I'm not a huge. I want to be a fan of his music. It just doesn't quite hit for me. You know what I mean? But so
For
anyway,
sure.
that's what's happening on the Bungie's podcast. 50 Cent reigning supreme. But I like how 50 says he's gangsta and does gangsta shit. I like that. And speaking of gangsta shit, Dog Party's putting out a new album, man. The album is going to be called Dangerous, and it's out May 17 on Snoop Dogg Records, which of course
Yay.
is the new record label run by Gwen and Lucy of Dog Party and Lizzie of Teens in Trouble, who was just on the podcast, I don't know, last week or the week before, something like that. They also
Yeah.
put out a single called Bullet in Disguise, and they're going on a short-ish tour, not on the East Coast, but they were out here not that long ago. And did you dig the
Yes.
video? Do you dig the song? Are you excited for this album? And I don't, they didn't put up a pre-order, did they? They really should have. Anytime you
I
announce an
don't
album,
think they did.
anytime you announce, this is definitely true. Anytime you announce an album in 2024, you should have a pre-order ready to go, and that's makes a huge difference. So yeah. Anyways, Em, are you excited for this? What do you think of the track?
I am excited about this. I thought the track was very, whoops. I thought the track was very good. It's very catchy, and I like kind of the crunchiness, sort of. That's not the right word, but like of the guitar and everything, like the tone. I thought it was really good. The video's really, really interesting and really fun.
I take it back, M. You can pre-order online right now at dogpartylive.com.
Hey. Okay, perfect. The Your Love Was Nothing cake looks very good too, and I would like to have some of that cake.
Em, I think I'm going to order the signed version.
You should. Are you getting, which one are you getting?
Red Galaxy signed.
Ooh, that looks cool.
I've been a fan of Dog Party like 50. Like I've said before, I think I did their first ever interview when they literally were like 10 and 12 or even 8 and 10. And so to me, they'll always be little kids, even though now they're like 25 and 28 or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, Dog Party's cool. I'm excited for this.
Dog
They make
Party
great
rocks.
music. Yeah, Dog Party's awesome. And they're nice people. So yeah, Dog Party's awesome.
Very nice people.
Let's see here. Let's talk about. So I guess I don't have anything deep to say. Dog Party rocks, and they rock, but they're not derivative, and they kind of have their own thing going on. And I don't know, man, they're just really cool. I don't know. Good band. Let's see here.
Yes,
oh,
very
here's
good
another,
band.
Here's another good band, the Ramones, sort of. The 2024 Johnny Ramone birthday bash has been announced. And it is going to be June 2 at Hollywood Forever Cemetery. The band playing is the Cream Commandos, which is Tim Armstrong with Fred Armisen, Billy Idol, and CJ, and
oh,
surprise
cool.
guests. And if you look at
on the
Punky's website, I listed CJ first because I feel as though, even though Tim Armstrong and Billy Idol are friggin' awesome, CJ deserves to be named first in a Ramones tribute thing.
100%.
They're going to be showing Pulp Fiction, which I think was Johnny Ramone's favorite movie. And if not, I know he was a movie buff. And Travolta's going to be there presenting the film. Also, Shepard Fairey, who we can talk about him in a second, is going to be spinning cuts between the bands and the movie. First of all, I was kind of shocked because the Punk News posters weren't blown away by this. I was totally blown away by this. Like, to me, this looks like the coolest thing ever. Billy Idol and CJ and Tim Armstrong doing Ramones songs, a whole set. That seems freaking awesome to me. You know what I mean?
And in a cemetery, too.
In a cemetery where Johnny Ramone's buried. Or Johnny
pretty
Ramone.
Cool.
Johnny Ramone's buried.
That is pretty cool. Like,
why
again,
why,
sorry?
Why weren't people blown away by this? To me, like, this is like the greatest thing ever. Like, is it me? And don't the Punk News readers like love Rancid? Like, isn't that like their favorite? Isn't like NoFX and Rancid and Bad Religion? Aren't they like your three favorite bands of Punk News readers?
Come on, you gotta add Social Distortion and Hot Water Music to that.
Yeah,
you gotta make it a full five.
You're absolutely right. So like, why weren't they like freaking out over this? To me, this is like the coolest thing yet.
People also go nuts for Billy Idol. Sorry.
Is it just because I love like special one time only sets and most people don't like I've seen Rancid before, right? And Rancid's fine.
Sure.
I mean, they're good, they're fine. You know, although like as I said before, it's like it feels like an oldies act because every third song Lars is like, "We wrote this one back in '94. Who remembers '94?" You know, and all the Moonstoppers and all like it feels like an oldies act. You know, whereas like
sure,
like Flag comes out, just even though Flag is way older than Rancid, they come out and they just destroy it. It doesn't feel oldies. It feels like Flag, you know. Anyway.
Oh, of course.
So anyways, it's like when people – so I've seen Rancid before. So would people rather see Rancid again as opposed to Tim Armstrong and Billy Idol doing Ramones? Is that what it is? Like they want the same product? I want a different product because I've already had the basic product. Now I want the advanced product, which is Billy Idol singing Ramones, and which is freaking awesome. Like, why aren't people, like, blown away by this? Like, for real?
I'm not sure.
Is it just because I posted on a Saturday and, like we don't people don't read as much on Saturday?
Well, that's the thing. Like, we've had other stuff, like, stuff that hangs out on Friday night get, like, 15 comments that aren't navel-gazing.
Yeah.
And it's either people love it or they're just like shitting on something. So I was very surprised too. Like, there's just somebody like dissing Fred, and then there's a bunch of Travolta Scientology comments, and that's like it.
What's your opinion on having Travolta there? Because he's a Scientologist.
I don't know. He makes me feel weird.
Yeah,
he just gives me a bad vibe, honestly. I liked him in Hairspray, and that was about it.
I love him in Pulp Fiction. I mean, I love him in all the Tarantino films that he's. I guess he's only in. Is he only in one Tarantino film?
He's in Reservoir Dogs too, isn't he?
He might be. I was confused. He might be. At any rate, I mean, I think he's a good actor. But you know, the whole Scientology thing is creepy, and I wish he wasn't there, honestly.
Yeah.
But I will add I think Scientology is pretty bad. I think it's pretty weird and creepy. But in the comment section, we got these people that are like really into hating on Scientology, which I don't like Scientology either. But these people that like research it all day long is almost as creepy as Scientologists. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you're like really into it, aren't you? You know what I mean?
Well, it's like the car crash thing too. It's like you can't look away from it. And a lot of people like get really, really, really into like looking into and reading about cults. And I think that's just what's happening to them there. And because Scientology is still very, very much active and still very like recruiting and things, I think some of the material that they are seeing is swaying them more towards the Scientology side of things, even though they're saying they're not, if that makes any sense.
What you think these Scientology haters are actually interested in being Scientologists?
Well, okay, here's the thing. So the reason why people like to research cults is because it's interesting and it's like kind of an abnormal, like kind of psychology thing, right? Once you start looking into things, there's a very fine line between like you getting sucked into the cult and you being a
critic,
and being a critic and being like, okay, I want to know about these things. Like with Scientology, I want to know about the possible murders of people who are very high up, and I want to know about these things because these are things that are happening. They're very terrible, and I feel like I need to bear witness to them.
Or how about the Mars Volta guy who got poisoned?
Well, that
do
remember, too.
Do you remember that?
No.
Oh yeah, allegedly, like Scientologists like poisoned the dog of the guy from Mars Volta or something. Give me a second. You keep
what?
Talking. I'll look it up. We covered this extensively at Pung News. I'll look this up.
And I don't remember this.
Keep talking, and I'll look it up.
Oh yes. So like that's kind of the thing. And when you're looking at defunct cults or more or less defunct cults, there's sort of less of a danger of that happening in one way because they're not active anymore. But in ones that are still active and running, you not only have the people who are coming out and speaking out about it, like, hey, I escaped from Scientology, here are my very, very bad experiences with it. You're also getting people trying to combat that with, like, you know, Super Bowl ads for, like, come see Scientology Church today and whatever. So you have to be very, like, strong and aware when you're looking into active cults that you don't accidentally, like, get sucked into it and go to the other side kind of thing. Because even if you just have to constantly kind of check in with yourself. And that's something that I think maybe some people are finding when they start looking into things. So that's kind of that. Because like, well, Charles Manson is like an example of that. Because obviously like the Manson family was around. They did really, really, really terrible things. And he gets imprisoned and up until his death, there were still people who were trying to find him and follow him.
Did you know, actually, Em, let's talk about Charles Manson for a second. Charles Manson was influenced by the Process Church. Do you know what the Process Church became, which was basically, I guess the organization that Charles Manson formed. After Charles Manson arrested, they became something else. Do you know what they became?
Oh, were they the Waco
no.
people?
The Best Friends Animal Sanctuary. The Best Friends Animal Sanctuary is what's left over of the Charles Manson cult.
I was not aware that that was a thing.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, here's one of my better titles from back in the day. Cedric of Mars Volta says Scientologist killed his dog to protect 70 show actor.
What happened?
What happened was, so Cedric is or was, I don't know if he still is, but married to this woman named Chrissy Carnell. She said that Danny Masterson of that 70s show raped her. Other women made similar claims. And of course, fairly recently, he was actually convicted on those charges and has gone to jail for a long, long time. So before charges were filed, but after they made this accusation, their dog turned up dead. And they like found poison in his system or something.
Oh my gosh.
And they found rat poison rolled up in raw meat. And also like they said, like Scientologists were like sitting outside their house and taking pictures of them and stuff. Oh man, no, they killed two dogs.
Okay, yeah, I think that's probably real.
They killed one dog and then a little later longer they killed a second dog. And one commenter said, Danny Masterson sucks, Scientology sucks. But we'd also should stop. We also should stop giving this dude dogs, which might be true. So, anyways, and what were we talking about? I totally forgot what we were talking about.
We were talking about Johnny Ramone birthday bash.
Oh yeah, yeah. Anyway, it looks super cool. I might fly out for it, like I always say, but I actually might. Anyway, this is cool too. Dexy's Midnight Runners are releasing a live album. The live album is called Dexy's. The live album is two discs. The first disc is them playing all of their brand new album, The Feminine Divine, which is fantastic, and then a second disc of hits. And of course, as you know, the Dexy's Midnight Runners canceled their entire USA show, the only show ever where I had center front row seats. Thanks, Dexy's. Also, this live album is basically a compilation of they released live recordings of every show they did on the UK thing of this tour at £20 each, which is like $25 American, which is a little bit for a digital download. I mean, that's kind of, you know, it should be like 10 or 12, you know, but I bought it because I'm a Dexy's fan and it's cool. It's great. And then they're like, okay, we're just going to release it now for real on vinyl. So you have to buy it again. Thanks, Dexys. Thanks a lot. Thanks. That's real appreciated. Anyways, I'm psyched to get this. It's going to be, I know it's going to be rad because I've already heard a version of it and it sounds great. Dexys is awesome. I hope to come to USA. And tell us about Half Past Two.
All right, Half Past Two. I think we talked a little bit about them on the podcast.
Yes. We should have her on the podcast. Ask her if she wants to come on the podcast.
I'm interviewing them.
I know. Ask her if she wants to come on sometime.
I could. I will. I'll write that down. Ask Pod. Because that would be a lot of fun. They seem like really nice people. So yes, they are. They've just released a video for Talk Is Killing Me, which is off their album of the same name, which should be out in April 19th. So the video is great. The lead singer Tara is hosting a dinner party and like there's all these guests and they're just like, you know, digging in and having fun. And then guess what?
What?
Boom! They're dead. Poison. Poison. So it wasn't talk that was killing them. It was poison that was killing them. Which I thought was really fun. And Tara just kind of walks around and is like, haha, I have taken my revenge. And leaves. And it fits really well with like the vibe of the song. And it's always really interesting because like there's some very like upbeat ska-y, very ska-y like moments of the song. And just that contrasted with the like, you have all betrayed me here, poison. I thought was really fun and cool. But yeah,
It's cool. I like the song. Yeah. I don't know if the rah-rah ska thing is as hot as it was like 2 years ago where everyone's like, ska, ska, ska. As with the 90s, there was a lot of really bad ska bands that came out of that, you know? And it's like, this is why ska killed itself in the first place is because so many terrible ska bands came out. Half Past Two is not a terrible ska band. They're actually a really good ska band. And they're a band that handles it with style and grace. And I think this song is cool. I like the video a lot, too. The video reminded me a lot of the Beetlejuice Deo segment.
Yeah!
Where they're at the dinner table and Beetlejuice. No, it's not Beetlejuice. It's
the couple.
Right. They have people dancing and like hands coming out of the soup and stuff. It reminded me of that. So I thought the video was real cool. And I'm also excited for the new Beetlejuice film that's coming out, which should be pretty cool.
There's a new Beetlejuice film coming out?
It's called Beetlejuice.
I did not know that.
it's got, what's her name in it? Winona Ryder, but also
Oh,
Jenny
cool.
Ortega is basically one. I think Jenny Ortega is Winona Ryder's daughter in it or something. And it's got Michael Keaton, of course. And it's
You
going to be
need
cool.
Michael Keaton.
I'm psyched for it, man. Beetlejuice 1 is probably my favorite Tim Burton film. And so I'm definitely psyched for that.
It's such a good movie.
Circle Jerks have. Well, rather, Keith Morris of Circle Jerks went on the Vinyl Guy podcast. It's a real good podcast run by a guy called Nate down in Australia. Although I think he's American. I don't think he's Australian. I think he's American, but he lives in Australia.
Oh,
And he
cool.
basically he interviews a whole bunch of different bands. And he had Keith Morris on, and Keith dropped a bunch of big bombs. I actually still have to post the second half of the big bombs. First of all, as listeners surely know, the Descendants and Circle Jerks are on tour together right now. And they have a limited 7-inch that you can get at the show. The pre-order is sold out online, where Descendants cover 3 Circle Jerks songs, and weirdly, Circle Jerks cover 2 Descendants songs, not 3. Why? Well, now we
Yes.
know why. Because Circle Jerks also did a version of Descendants' "Loser." However, and of course, "Loser," the original version, has Milo yelling out "You effing homo," and so Keith Morris changed the lyrics. We don't know what he changed it to, but he changed it to not use that word, which I guess was more acceptable in 1981 or 82 than it is now, of course. However, Bill Stevenson, I think, was still somewhat wary about that and asked them not to include that on the 7-inch. So they didn't include that on the 7-inch. And so right now it's sitting in a vault somewhere and probably will never be heard. We'll actually get to a couple other news items in a second with regards to this. But Em, what's your opinion of that decision? What do you think? Do you think they should have changed the words? And do you think once the words were changed, Bill Stevenson should have been cool with releasing it? Or do you think Bill Stevenson is fair in asking that it not be released?
My thing with this is I think that Circle Jerks changed the lyrics so it wouldn't be that line anymore, and then people, if they released it, people would be like, why is it not the line, you know? And then a bunch of people would be like, oh shit, the Descendants said this, and then Bill Stevenson's like, hey, that was a long time ago, I don't want to deal with this. So I
True.
think it's something like that, which I understand why they would not release it.
Actually, I mean, you changing my opinion. I think
Okay.
from a strategy standpoint, I think you can't blame Bill Stevenson, and that you're right, and that like if they change it. Then a lot of people are like, how dare they change it? It's art, you know? And then other people that might not be aware might look into it, and
Exactly.
it reignites a fire that has been settled long, long ago, you know? So I guess you're right, you know? But I like to hear it though, to tell you the truth. I really want to hear it, but I guess we never will.
Yeah, I want to know what they changed it to.
Good question. I mean, honestly, you could change it to any number of things. You could change it to,
Oh,
you
a
know,
hundred
you
different things.
jackass, you suck, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah,
I
you can
will say,
have good insults without being homophobic.
I mean, I think everyone knows that the Senate, I mean, I think everyone knows that the Senates aren't homophobic. I think that's pretty
Yeah,
clear.
very
And
clear.
so I think it is kind of lame that, like, let's say the Circle Jerks did change the lyrics and then released it. People would still try to ding the Descendants, you know, which is kind of not fair. You know what I mean? It's like,
Oh,
A,
yeah.
it was like 1981. People use way worse words than that all the time in 1981, 1982. The Descendants had live Milo sings different words, or maybe no, actually live they might not even perform it, honestly. At any rate, so it's clear that the Descendants are not homophobic. So I think in a world where there is real homophobia, that is a real problem. The fact that would fixate on this non-issue, it's kind of sad, frankly, and that does harm art, if you ask me. I wish we got to hear it. It would be pretty cool, you know. And the only reason we're not hearing it is because people you are using a bad faith attempt to quote combat homophobia when they could be using that energy towards real homophobia instead of something that isn't actually homophobia at all at this point, you know. So that's kind of a bummer. However, here's another huge bombshell, M.
All
Huge,
right.
two huge bombshells. Do you want the smaller bombshell first or the bigger bombshell first?
Let's dive right in with the bigger bombshell.
According to Keith Morris, Off is approaching the end and/or hiatus.
Oh.
The fourth album,
Okay.
LSD, and the movie, according to Keith, didn't generate as much interest as they were hoping it would because they spent 8 years not really as a functioning band, which that was a quick 8 years, man. And so they didn't quite, they weren't getting the turnout that they wanted. They weren't getting the response that they wanted or that they hoped for. So Off is going to do a few shows around the movie, which still hasn't come out. And then they're going on a hiatus. And I got to say, man, I don't know how long the hiatus can be, Em. You know what I mean? So it very well may be the end of Off. What do you think of that, Em?
It's surprising because I thought there was a lot of like momentum behind Free LSD. Like they had, it seemed
I disagree, and here's why. I think you can all tie this back to one very specific action. If the listeners remember, the original version of Free LSD was a movie called Watermelon. Yes. And it had the four original Off members in it. And I think they even recorded like a trailer with the four original Off members.
They did.
That didn't get funded by like I think they won like $250,000, which is nothing for a movie. And they only got up to like $230,000. So the project didn't fund, which of course caused fractures in Off, and the band kind of went on hiatus. And then the band reformed with a new drummer, a new bass player. Although it seemed like Mario Rubalcaba might actually be back in the band at this point. So at any rate, had... And at that time, there was enormous momentum behind Off. Well, actually, I take that back. There wasn't, because the Kickstarter didn't complete. Had they simply done the Kickstarter, is that whatever money we make, we keep, as opposed to we get nothing if it doesn't hit the goal. Then right. I think Off would have kept the momentum going. I probably would have grown, and I think there wouldn't have been this fractionization of Off, and probably maybe the Circle Jerks might not have reunited. So it is so annoying to me how what essentially caused the crumbling of Off was that someone just clicked the button, will not fund unless we make the goal, as opposed to will fund with whatever money we make. Because if they can pull out $230,000, the four members of Off can each put in $5,000 and make it to the goal. You know what I mean?
Definitely, yeah.
So that was really frustrating for me. And so I think. And then and they came back, and I know Off put a whole lot of energy into Free LSD, the movie and the album, and the album is great. I think it was challenging for some listeners because the first three Off albums, while different, share a very similar thread, while the fourth album has that thread, but it's got more noise, more sonic damage, which I like, and I think was the exact right move for the band to make. But I think not all the listeners came along with it, and 8 years is a long time to pick up from where you left off. So I think the momentum had kind of kicked out to a degree, and I think that's why they're at where they're. And it's too bad. I went to the Free LSD tour, and it was amazing. They did all of Free LSD all the way through, then a full second set of Off hits, and it was amazing.
Oh, nice.
So I think the momentum had kind of petered out, frankly. I'm surprised because I thought Keith loved Off and was just doing Circle Jerks because he wanted the money, which I don't blame him. But I guess maybe the and we'll get to this in a second, the spark of creativity has reignited in the Circle Jerks, because I guess Keith is kind of over playing. Well, I mean, if you look at it this way, Circle Jerks play to 10 to 15,000 people. Off plays to about 600 people. Big difference, you know?
Yeah.
Well, not 10 to 15,000. Circle Jerks play to about 5,000 people. And Off plays to about 500, you know?
Yes.
Plus, Circle Jerks do festivals. And actually, Circle Jerks do play to 15 to 20,000 people, because Circle Jerks do headline a lot of festivals and do play that. So anyway, the point being is, I'm saddened, but I'm not necessarily shocked.
Yeah. No, when you put it that way, it does make sense. The article says you can also hear Keith Morris whiz during the interview.
Twice.
What? He pees twice?
During the interview, yes.
Okay.
It's Keith Morris, man. He does what he wants.
I didn't see that before. It was like, what? Well, I mean, like, you got to move the kidneys, you know?
It's true. Also, here's the other, I guess, smaller bombshell, Em. Keith
yes,
Morris says a new Circle Jerks album is not only in the plans, but in the works, with several songs written and lyrics to one song completely written.
That is exciting news.
But would you rather have a Circle Jerks album, a Flag album, or an Off album?
We just had an Off album. So, and I liked it. I thought Free LSD was very good. So I think we're due for a Circle Jerks album. A Flag album would be cool at some point, but I'd rather hear like new music. What about you?
Well, if I could pick anyone, I would pick a live Flag album, which we're not going to get thanks to Greg Ginn.
Yeah.
I find it, and if you recall, I guess it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, I guessed that the Circle Jerks don't hate each other anymore. And I was
You
right.
did. Yes.
So yeah, would I rather have an Off album or a Circle Jerks album? That's a tough question. That's a real tough question. I love the Circle Jerks, but their last three albums were hit or miss. All four albums are amazing, but the first three Circle Jerks albums are amazing.
True.
All set. See, so and really, I mean, I don't really care about Xander of Circle Jerks. I care about Greg Henson, but I also care about Dimitri of Off. I'll say, that's a tough one. That's a real tough one, Em. I'll say New Off. I think I'd rather have New Off
Ooh,
because
okay.
it still feels fresher. You know what I mean? Even though Off has been a band like this, the funny thing is, if we compare Off to Circle Jerks, Off has been a band for 15 years. So if Off what was the Circle Jerks, they would be releasing their final album, which was I'm seeing the cover, but I can't remember the name of the album. Six. No, that's the fifth album. What's the sixth Circle Jerk album? I know the single is I Want to Destroy You, which is a great song.
One
That's
minute,
one of
one
the
minute. Yeah, Oddities, Abnormalities, and
That's right.
Curiosities.
Yeah,
There we go.
not a great title, frankly. Honestly,
Very long.
I bought that album before like the internet was big. And I thought it was like a B-sides release, but it's an album. Not a great title for an album. But
No.
that being said, the album's all right. It's got some great songs and some okay songs. So no, I'll tell you what though, is honestly between you and me, if the Circle Jerks were to put out an album, I want one in the vein of the first three, not the back half of the second three. And I think Keith
Yes.
will be a taskmaster because that was the whole thing with Off was he was a taskmaster in Off, and that's why Off was so good. That being said, I think I'd rather see Off, I mean, hear a new Off album just because it's a little bit more daring. Yes, I would rather hear a new Off album because it doesn't have to conform to anything. If the Circle Jerks put out a new
Ooh,
album,
sure.
it has to be a Circle Jerks album, which is cool. But I hope it's like the first three albums, the first one. I hope they don't feel that they need to make a 40-minute album. Like if Circle Jerks put out like a 14-minute album, that'd be kick ass. So that's my answer.
It's a good answer.
So let's see here. Anything else?
Wait, wait. With I pulled up the podcast there. What's happening with Keith's hat?
Oh yeah.
What is that?
So Keith has this hat. Nate's a nice guy, but sometimes you get a little fixated on some weird things. Keith is interesting in that like he'll wear the same shirt over and over and over, and he's had the same hat for like years, and it's really gnarly. They
Yeah.
actually put a photo of it online. Like it's freaking gross.
I'm gonna look it up.
So Keith has been wearing a new hat, and the host thought that he lost it, and he thought he lost it, but he didn't. It was just left in his room. So,
Oh, that's funny. I want to
so
see the
anyways.
hat. Show
Yeah.
me the gross hat.
I'm going to Google Keith Moore's hat right now. Let's see.
I'm Google image searching it, and I'm just seeing him wearing the hat, and it's like, yeah, it looks fine. It's just a hat.
Well, there's a top view that sees the decades of wear on the hat, and it
Okay.
ain't a pretty sight, Em. It is not a pretty sight.
Top view. I typed in top view and there's just a very up close picture of Keith Morris's face. It's like
Well,
that's not what I wanted, but thank you.
I'm gonna see if I can find one of the Off Facebook, which I think that's where it might be. But you tell me your
Oh,
opinion
yes.
of our last story of the day, the new Kate Clover video and album. What's your opinion? What's your take?
Yes, the new Kate Clover video. I liked it. I thought it was very cool. The more, well, 1 minute. I need to get off of that, switch the mind back to not hat talk. That's right. This video was really cool too. The bomb headpiece that like had the fuse and stuff. It was really cool. The lighting in this video was rad. I love the lighting in this video. The like purple And then sort of the green, well, the purple and the green when the band are playing. Oh my God, it looks so cool. I liked the love bomb guy too, and then just like lights the fuse and explodes at the end. That was really, really neat too. But yeah, I am excited to listen to the full album. The first song that was released, I was like, I like it, but like I'm waiting for just a little bit more, you know? And this had that for me. So I'm really looking forward to the album. John, what did you make of the new Kate Clover?
Yeah, it's real cool. I want to go see her live, but she's playing Philadelphia on Easter Day, which I'm not going to go to a show on Easter Day.
Oh, no.
For some weird reason, like KRS-One is also playing Philadelphia on Easter Day. I'm like, there's like a ton of stuff happening in Philadelphia on Easter Day. I'm like, are that many people out on Easter Day? And I guess the answer is yes. Yes, they are. So I think it's cool.
Okay.
I'll see her punk rock bowling. So I'm psyched for that. Although I would have liked to see a club show.
That would have been cool.
At any rate, it seems cool. So I'm down.
Seems very cool. Why is there so much stuff going on Easter though?
I don't know.
That is interesting. Everything's like closed on Easter.
And I'm gonna send you a message right now, and we're gonna do this live. It's not the top of Keith's hat, but it kind of gives you a perspective on it. So maybe I'll just send you the link. Give me a second.
Okay.
And now my computer is freezing up, which is great.
No.
There we go. All right.
Stay alive.
It's probably because I've got like literally 75 windows open right now.
Why?
Because I'm gonna come back to it, Em. I'm gonna come back to it.
Fair enough.
I'm about to send Em this link if I can get to it.
I just went on Facebook to wait, and the first thing that showed up was a giant picture of a praying mantis face. And I don't know why.
That's weird.
Look at it. Oh, that's gross. Oh my God. Those are interesting little bugs. There was one like trying to get in the window one year. They are tall. Oh, I see what you mean. Sure.
That's not even a great view. If listeners, listeners can't see, obviously, like the top of Keith's hat is like totally black from sweat, and it's like breaking apart up top.
It looks like it's been burned.
It does, but it hasn't. Yeah. It's just sweat.
It's just sweat. Just sweat and wear.
And, you know? And dreadlock chemicals.
Dreadlock chemicals. Intense. Yes. Very much so.
Do you think Keith takes care of his dreadlocks? Like, really, if you have dreadlocks, there's like a special shampoo you're supposed to like, because you can't like wash dreadlocks because they're like solid, you know? So there's like a special shampoo you're supposed to like squeeze it into them. You think Keith does that?
I think he has done it. I don't know if he keeps it up. What do you think?
I think he doesn't take good care of them.
Fair enough. And
that's what makes them look rad. And that's what makes Keith look rad. Keith is one of the few white dudes that can look awesome with dreadlocks.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. I agree with that. 100%. Also, like, having the hat for that many years. And, I mean, aside from the burn at the top, it still looks decent.
You want to see the top, Em? I'll see if I can dig it up. At any rate, yeah. Anyways, go see Circle Jerks. They're awesome. Go see Off if you can. Go see Flag. Yeah. Go see Kate Clover. Go see, who else we talk? Go see Dog Party.
Go see Half Past Two.
Do not go to Pete Diddy's house. That's a bad idea.
No, bad.
And support.
Go to the Ramones' birthday.
Go to the Ramones' birthday party and support 50 Cent's documentary. So we'll see.
Hey! And if you're going to an adult consensual liquid party, bring lots of protection.
Oh, God. Don't go. Don't go. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for that lovely image, Em.
So hey, we'll see you next week. It's what I'm here for.